to live a lifestyle that you want, to live a lifestyle that means something to you, and how you combat all those doubts from other people, from yourself, from society, to show the truth. Like, because it's not all fairy tales and rainbows all the time. There's plenty of things to talk about where things aren't that easy, where it's hard and it's difficult. So yeah, it's important to do that. And it's important to show the authentic side of ourselves and not just be, you know, the glamour couple or the party couple or, you know, these other versions of ourselves that we've been shedding and working through over the years. I feel like I don't know who we are at the moment. Like, I'm a little bit like in between. Like,
but I like where it's going.
But I like where it's going. And I like
the vibes.
I like not knowing.
Yeah.
I like not knowing. And that's something that we've both grown really, really far into, because we've always known what was going on in our lives. Like, we've always kind of like been sure of what tomorrow brings. But this is the first time. It's wild and adventurous, married and wild and crazy and maybe a little bit insane from time to time. But yeah, it's an adventure.
Welcome to the Dancing with Doubt podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Topol, and what a joy it is to be back on the mic after 7 months break. So much has happened, so much evolution, growth, and change since episode 12 in 2023. I don't even know where to start. You'll notice season two is going to be quite different, and I hope refreshing, from the setting to the format, topics, and structure. So allow me to explain for just a moment. In May 2024, my wife and I decided to bid farewell to our corporate jobs to live life on the road. We've rented out our house, packed up our life, loaded up our car and caravan, and are now nomading around Australia with our dog Wally and our cat Paprika. Why would we do this? I guess our need to discover what's next in our lives was simply too strong to ignore. You could call it a midlife crisis in our 30s. As you can imagine, such a radical change has uncovered many doubts of our own, as well as those around us. This season, I'm teaming up with my wife, Anita Musker, a certified holistic coach and ex-9-to-5er, to provide you with a raw, unfiltered view of what it takes to take charge of your destiny and to highlight that you can truly live the life of your choosing. Whether it's easy or not, that's another story. This pilot episode will give you a taste of the sort of conversations we'll be having and the deeply personal insights we'll be sharing. Remember to hit that subscribe button, follow us on the socials, and let us know what you enjoyed or didn't. We'd love to hear your feedback. Episode 13, let's hit the road. Joining me from Shark Bay in Western Australia is my lovely wife, Anita Musker.
Hello.
So Anita, do you want to maybe give a bit of a quick intro about yourself?
I'll talk about the start for me of where things really started to need to change in my life. I had just, some of you might have seen some of my work with Daniel, or some of you might have even been coached under me at previous times or done some of my women's events. But I was the owner of a brand called Rewrite Your Story for women, a women's coaching, women's facilitation, and women's circle sort of business as a whole. And I was just sort of getting a wriggle on and sort of finding my groove with this new job that I had started. It's not much of a job, more of a calling and a sort of
adventure, maybe.
Yeah, it's something that I was really, really looking forward to building and growing. I had a calling to work with women. I knew that my story leading up until that point was very much, you know, true for other people, other women that have experienced similar things from what I had. So I saw it being something that would really grow. Then a bit of a bombshell happened. My work actually started letting people go. And I had this big battle. We had a battle as a couple. The battle for me personally was they had come to me and said, look, you're going to lose your job. Because at this point, I wasn't really fully in. I was kind of like one toe in, one toe out, half working for a logistics company, which I'd been doing for the past
8 years at this company for the last 4 years when this happened. And I was used to my security. I was used to, you know, just having not to have to go all in, you know, like I didn't want to have to go all in. So this big question came to me, we'll either let you go, or if you come back full time. At this time, I was working part time as my own business owner and with the logistics company. So you'll lose your job or you come back full time. That was the question. And yeah, I guess that was the biggest, that's the first time I really, really realized I did not fully believe in myself. Like I've had moments with doubt the whole time. I mean, dancing with doubt constantly. Being a woman, I have been through all different types of my life, times in my life where I have danced with doubt, but I really felt like I was getting somewhere. I really felt like I was able to help other people now and that I'd been through so much with my, you know, discovery over the years of being through eating disorders, being through abuse and all different kinds of, you know, traumas. I really felt like I had done the work. I was ready to help other women. And then this question sort of came on me. And I realized I wasn't ready to fully go in on myself. I was like, well, I want money. You know, who's going to provide for me? The universe won't provide for me. God won't provide for me. Like, how will I afford things? And then we had the doubts as a couple. Like, how are we going to afford things if I take a punt on myself? And don't get me wrong, you've always been really supportive of me. And I feel like if I had come to you and said, I'm going to do it, you know, and I believed in myself and I knew that I was going to grow my business to the next level, you would have been like, yep, babe, let's do it.
Yeah.
But I had to believe in myself. And I didn't believe in myself. I didn't trust myself. I didn't think I could do it. So I went back to work full time. And then everything just started to change. Like I'm actually tearing up at the moment because I'm thinking about that lack of belief in myself, you know, like that is really, really painful to live with. It's really hard to not believe you can actually do something, that deep down, you know, you can do it, but there's just this sabotage in my life. It's a repetitive pattern in my life that I get to a really beautiful point where everything's opening up for me and then I sabotage myself. And this is dancing with doubt. That's why we're having these conversations as a couple now, because we've both been here throughout our lives. And yeah, the reason it gets so emotional is because everything really, really, really started to change after that. I went back to work full time and you know what? I was earning the most money I've ever earned. It was great. I could buy things. We didn't have to worry. You and I were laughing. We're going to the fancy restaurants and, you know, you were doing really well in your career. I was doing, you know, the highest pay I've ever had in my life. And we were living for the weekends, but not in the way we used to. You know, over the years, we used to go out partying and looking for a quick fix. We were still going out to nature. So there was this little bit of an element of like getting something from our weekends. We'd go out and spend time with the dog, spend time with the cat.
And we'd travel as well, yeah. You know, a couple of trips a year overseas.
We'd go holidays and, you know, people looked at our lives and probably thought, wow, you guys have got it all, you know, because we did. We really did. But there was just this gut-wrenching, like, sadness every Monday to Friday, you know, like this loss of passion, this loss of, like, the life within me. It's like a little flame that just can't spark, you know, like a little... Something died in me when I made that decision. And yeah, so Rewrite Your Story fell into the distance. I sometimes will still post on there and I have like inspirational moments where I feel connected, but I just let it go. And the minute I let it go, yeah, I lost something within myself. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's where the conversations began. Well, what was next? What was I going to do with my life if I wasn't going to commit to doing this business, which brought me so much happiness in the small little time that it existed? What am I going to do? You know? And I didn't have the space to think about it. I'm working full time. So that's where I'm at this point. You know, that's where I was at when we started having the conversations about what was next in our relationship.
Yeah. Thank you so much for opening up to such depth straight away. I must admit, like, we talk a lot, obviously, being married now for over 6 years and together for over 11. But you can still bring a tear to my eye. I had to hold it back just then. Only one of us is allowed to cry at a time on this podcast. I'm joking. Yeah, like, quite a lot to unpack there. Mm. And it actually pains me a lot to see... To have seen you go through this, because it's actually not the first time that this has happened. And you're such a creative person. You're a creative at heart. You're different to me. My skill set is obviously in a different realm, and I have learned to become creative, but you are naturally a creative. And I've seen you go through this journey once before with your music. For those of you that don't know, Anita was also a professional musician. And you had to give that dream up as well, for different reasons, admittedly. But, you know, this is now the second major milestone in your life that you've had to put on hold and change course. And I can see why you're asking yourself, like, why? Why am I doing this again? Why do I need to go through this again?
I think it always just keeps coming back to money as well. Like, this absolute trap. Like, it's a trap. It's like you... need money to function in the world. You need money in order to pay the bills. We have mortgages, you know, like, you need it in order to live in this current world that we're living in Australia. This is what we need. You need money. I mean, everywhere you need money. And it's just so hard to trust in yourself that you can provide that for yourself if you go all in with yourself. So you get trapped in these jobs that just give you an absolute, you know, like, I'm going to go to work 8 hours and I'm going to get this much and I don't have to worry. I don't have to be myself. I don't have to be creative. I don't have to, you know, worry if I don't, you know, put enough effort in this week, am I going to make it? You know, I don't work in a commission-based role. So it's easy. It's easy. It's secure. And I know that I can pay my bills and I'm going to eat the next day.
And not only that, you know that you can go to that nice restaurant. Mm, you can take that trip to Bali whenever you want. And it'll be fine. You'll always be able to afford it. Yeah. There's a guarantee. But with that guarantee, obviously, comes, you know, let's call it conditions. It's just part of the deal.
Well, it's a quick fix, right?
Yeah.
It's a quick fix, like any other. Like any, you know, alcohol, drugs, like party, like all of these things are the same sort of thing. It, like, it feeds you for a moment, but then it leaves you half, like it leaves you needing more.
Yeah. And I think it also depends on the type of person that you are, because there's certain people that absolutely thrive with that structure and that's totally okay. We are all very
yourself.
Different.
Like, you've been very successful in your career. Like,
pretty much, my entire career, I have always worked for the man, and I've tried to go off and do my own thing once or twice, but I've never really gone all in to the extent that you tried as well. For me, I relish the structure, and that structure allowed me to grow.
Yeah.
But I think I've gotten to a place, and part of the reason why I've chosen to move on from my corporate job is to see, well, what else is possible? What am I capable of? All these skills that I've learned over the years, from sales to marketing to project management to people leadership, you know, more recently podcasting, editing, what can I do with all of these skills? What am I truly capable of? And that's one of the things that I want to discover on this trip. And the interesting thing is, like you mentioned before, that you feel like you're trapped and you feel like the money just always needs to come in. But we've been on the road for 2 months now, right? We've got two mortgages that we're still paying off. We've got pets that we need to take care of. We've got our own needs.
Loans of other kinds.
We've got the budget that you need to actually travel around Australia, which is not a cheap country. When you're paying $2 a litre for diesel in, you know, and even more in remote places.
And you sort of want to enjoy yourself as well.
Yeah,
right?
You want to have a good time. I mean, why the hell else are you uprooting your entire life? And going through the hardship, because it has been really hard to get to this stage, and we can talk about that in a sec. But, you know, what I've come to realize 2 months in is that we have a really warped view of how much money we actually need.
Yeah.
And the key word there is need. What do you need? Not what do you want. Like, what do you want is important, and you can strive to achieve that if that's, you know, that's part of the deal. But what do you actually need? And what we actually need is actually not that much. You don't need that much money to survive. It's all up in your head, this notion of I need a certain amount of income, you know, to do this, to do that. Bullshit. You need money to pay your bills. And if your bills are too high, then you can take steps to reduce them. And you need money to go and do the things that you enjoy doing. It's that simple. You work that out, work back from there, and you'd be surprised at how long you can probably last. Like, we thought we'd only be able to last for, what, 5-6 months with the budget. And at this stage, the projections are like a full year.
We've also learned how to adapt, you know, like when we feel like we need to sort of reel things in, we can do that. But it's something that you learn on the road, and we're only a couple of months in, and we'll talk about that probably a little bit later. But it's just, yeah, you don't realize how adaptable you are. And like you said, what you want versus what you need. And sometimes you can have all of those things, but it's when you have, I don't know what the saying is, but it's like when you have money, like you spend money, you know, like, but when you have less, like you only have what, you know, actually matters. Because the reality is that you can earn as much money as you want, but you'll always find more things to spend your money on. You know, whereas we're spending our money on ourselves and spending our money on experiences rather than things, you know? And when you actually narrow it down, you don't need a lot to be happy. You actually do not need a lot to be happy.
I would even go further. The less stuff you have, the happier we've become.
Yeah.
Like if you think about it, we've gone from a 2-bedroom and study house with a decent plot of land in, you know, inner city Melbourne, to a 5x3 caravan that houses 2 humans, a dog and a cat, and all of our earthly possessions, which, you know, have overflowed into the Hilux now, but you actually don't, you don't need stuff. That's what I've come to realize. Like that whole storage unit back in Melbourne, full of, I don't even know what's in there.
I don't even remember what's in there.
There's a couple of couches and a few other bits and pieces, but like you don't need that shit to be happy. What you need is actually what's behind this window. Like right now, we're in Shark Bay in Western Australia, and it's a pretty remote part of the world. I mean, we're 4,000 kilometres from Melbourne, 4,000 k's from home, and this place is just stunning.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Like what I've come to realise at this stage, what we need this wherever we are, wherever we open our window. We need each other, we need our pets, and food and the shelter.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally it. That's the base now. And the clothes.
Yeah. And even that we brought too much. Even those.
But we've had to cut it down by, you know, 10 times from what we had in the house. Like, you just don't need stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was interesting. Anyway, having to cut down all of the things that we had into the small box, that was, one of the big challenges. But I guess we could talk about that in a minute as well, about the challenges.
Well, it's probably a good segue. I mean, let's talk about the doubts that, firstly, maybe let's go, what did other people doubt about us coming on this trip? Because that was actually weighing on us like a ton of bricks for months and months before we did this little adventure.
Yeah, true. You want to start or?
Sure.
Go for it.
Well, you know, obviously we're traveling with a dog and a cat, right? Mm. And the dog has been on plenty of adventures. Anyone that follows either his Instagram page or our Instagram pages knows that this dog loves camping, loves the beach, loves coming on trips with us. We had no doubts whatsoever about the dog. The cat, though. The cat is a rescue cat from country New South Wales. And he's had a bit of trauma in his life. And, you know, as most cats do, he loves his stability and he loves being in a relatively fixed location. In fact, he loves being in an absolute fixed location.
He really does. And he's 6, you know, like he's not a kitten. Yeah. You know, kittens you can train. But a fully grown adult cat...
And he's pretty big too. Like the guy's like 7 kilos. Yeah. He's not a small little kitty that just fits into any little basket. Nah.
So I guess the doubts that people had were somewhat my own doubts as well. The doubts were cat's not going to like it. Cat's going to run away. Cat's going to be depressed. I don't know. What else?
Yeah. The cat won't make it. You know, you can't do it.
You can't actually just do it. Like there doesn't even have to be an excuse.
Even yesterday, we were on a kayak with the cat. And this goes to show just how far this cat has come. He was on a bloody kayak with us, with our dog and us. right? And it worked for a relatively short amount of time, but it still worked.
Yeah.
And when we bring the cab back onto shore, a lady came up to me and is like, how can you do that? And I'm just like, well,
we just did.
Like literally, you train the cat, yeah. There's baby steps. I mean, it's a whole episode in itself, how we got this cat prepared, but it is possible to do.
It's the same thing, dancing with doubt. Like the minute that you take away the doubt and just do something, and if you go fully in, and this is the one, actually, like I want to backstep a tiny bit. Like this is the one thing that was different about us conjuring up this trip, which we should probably even talk about what the trip is. But like we went all in. For the first time, I've gone all in on something.
Proper all in.
And you've gone all in on us and our lifestyle and our pets. And once we did that, look, Paprika was fine. Like our cat is Paprika, by the way. So once we went all in and just said, we're going to do it, it was just like finding the little minor details to tweak. And it's working.
Yeah.
Like it's not easy. It's definitely not the easiest environment living with a cat, especially if you have insomnia a little bit like myself or any sleep issues because the cat likes to stand on your head in the middle of the night. But yeah, the reality is once you go all in on yourself and a decision and just make it and you know, show up.
The answers will open up.
It just starts to work.
And look, I mean, we did the research. We took baby steps. Yeah. This wasn't just throw the cat in the car and, you know, off he goes. Like, there was a deliberate strategy to make it work for the cat, but it was possible. And it is possible, doing it. So, you know, the cat is fine. The cat is actually quite happy. The cat has not run away. The cat is free range outside of the caravan where it's safe to do so. Bravo to the cat. Bravo to us.
Yeah, so that was one of
overcoming a good doubt.
That was one of the major doubts from parents, I think. Yeah. Another doubt, I guess this was an outsider's doubt, was that we would want to kill each other, which, you know, like some of the time has been true.
It has crossed our minds.
No, but like the fact that we're going to be in a small space together, like how could you possibly, not just us, but with the pets, you know? And we really didn't know how that was going to work. So that was other people's projection onto us. I guess you and I didn't think about it, to be honest. Like we weren't thinking about the space. Yeah, I think like that was a thing that we had to sort of digest as we were on the road. But
well, to be honest, like we originally had this idea of getting a much bigger caravan, right?
Yeah.
So we wanted to go 17 footer,
yeah,
maybe even 18. And if anyone knows the caravans, that is like a relatively modest sized caravan for a couple. We ended up going with a 15 footer, which is even smaller. And there's really good reasons why we did that. Our caravan is super capable off-road. We can get into small tracks. It was a very good price point, and it had a lot of the features that we already needed.
We were also not experienced with caravans, so
we were scared to
drive it. And Dan actually has nailed the driving of the caravan, which is just a breeze for me because I just sit in the passenger seat most of the time and don't have to do the parking. But I guess your confidence has come from the fact that it is a smaller van and it's not so hard to sort of navigate. You also said because of the fuel, things like that, like it's lower fuel consumption because it's a smaller van, less head height.
Wind resistance.
Yes. So, yeah, well, like we didn't really know how it was going to work, but that was another one that I think we just sort of thought, we'll think about that later, you know?
Yeah. And that's actually been probably the biggest adjustment point for us.
Yeah.
You know, once we got on the road is realizing how small this space is. And it's gotten better now because we're in a much warmer part of Australia. So we can go outside more. We can set up the external rooms and actually disconnect from each other if we need to.
Yeah.
And let's face it, you do need to do it. You can't live in each other's pockets forever.
It's hard, yeah.
But for the first month and a half, it was hard because it was cold. It was raining some days.
A lot of adjustments going on as well. Like personally, like coming down from work, coming down from our lifestyle, not knowing if we've made the right choices, but still sticking with it, you know? The other doubt that rings in my head, like, was people just couldn't understand how we could let go of security. And you know what, this was on us as well initially, like a huge one, like, but parents in particular, friends were kind of in, you know, just wanting to know like, how are you going to do this, asking a lot of questions, but mainly from parents, just like, well, what are you going to do for work, or when are you going back to work, Like the first question before we've even left the building, I mean, left the city is like, well, when are you going to start working again?
What's your plan?
Yeah. Like, what's your plan? And me and Dan actually have a very planned out life up until now. Like, we're very much like always living forward, like looking at the future, like have goals.
Planning.
Yeah. And this was the first time we didn't have any goals. And I struggled with that when we started this out. Like feeling like a bit like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And I've got ADHD and sometimes I really need structure in my life. And it was just a lot. It was overwhelm. It was hard. But then having other people's doubts like on top of you going like, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? What is, you know, how are you going to make it work? What about your jobs? What about money? What about this? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's the whatabouts. It's the constant stream of whatabouts.
Yeah.
And yeah, like in the end, I think the response that we would tend to give is, well, we're not going to die. No one's going to die here, right? Let's start there. No one's dying.
We just had to think of, have we got a parent's pocket that we can live in if worst case scenario?
We've done the budget and we know we can last for a relatively decent amount of time. Mm. We're also in our own country. Unlike in previous other trips, we have working rights here.
Yeah.
Right? And we're allowed to work remotely. We're allowed to work on site. We can always go back to Melbourne and we can always plug back into that life that we had. So we have all that. We have the basics. We have each other. And we've picked up the skills in order to live on the road, or at least we knew what skills we needed to pick up as we went in order to be safe.
Yeah.
Right. So what is it now about? Money.
Yeah.
Financial security.
Security. Yeah. It was more other people's own trap, and the same trap that made me give up on my business, the same trap that's probably made me give up on my original music career, is the trap of the way that society and the world works, is in this system of, you know, going to a job that, you know, is definitely going to guarantee you a certain amount of pay every week for a certain amount of hours. And without that, it really freaks people out. Mm. It really freaked us out a little bit, but it kind of didn't as well. Like, we were so ready for this to happen at the point that it did, that yeah, we had the doubts going through our heads, but other people constantly ask us questions about it. We were kind of just like, it'll be fine. It'll work out.
We'll work it out.
We'll make it work. You know, it's the first time in our lives that you and I kind of just like thought, I'm not sure. I actually don't have the answer. You know, it's the first time in our lives that I didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring.
Mm.
And there's something really liberating about that. Like, there's something really liberating about not knowing where we're going to be tomorrow.
And that's a really big statement coming from two people that basically were, I wouldn't call us control freaks, but we had a lot of control over our life.
Yeah.
And we lived always in the mind as much as possible.
A lot.
And less so in the heart. And I think when you stop planning and you stop trying to micromanage every aspect of your life, you start to connect more to that inner voice that comes from your heart and your gut.
Yeah.
And that's where already 2 months in, there's been, it's like, I don't recognize us. There's just been so much growth and it's vindicated our decision already to just go, you know what? I don't have the answer at the time. I think I know why I'm doing this, but let's find out why.
And we're also, and we're also really feeling those emotions. Like, we're going through roller coasters and seasons like every week of different aspects of how we're feeling about this trip, you know? Some days we wake up and we're just not in the mood. We're not happy. We want to go back to our old lives for a moment, or we come back to, you know, a beautiful place and we're all joyful and loving and happy. And, you know, like, we're going through a lot of different emotions, but we can actually feel them. Like, I can feel, I think I said it to you at the start of this trip, like, I'd rather feel the uncomfortableness of this trip than to feel nothing at all, which is what I was feeling in my current life, in the 9 to 5, same, like, knowing exactly what was going to happen every day, knowing exactly what I was walking into at work, you know, like,
it's a human experience.
Yeah.
The human experience is, yeah, it's to have the full spectrum of emotions, because how can you possibly appreciate the good if you're not feeling the bad, the sad, the angry, negative?
And our lives were just so, like, in the middle.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, our life was actually amazing in one regard, but we also didn't feel. We didn't feel those peaks and troughs that we're feeling now. And looking back now objectively, I don't know, I'd much rather feel those peaks and troughs.
Because as much as there's low moments, you know, there's such beautiful, magnificent, joy-filled, loving moments that we're experiencing together, individually, with our pets, that I just wasn't experiencing in life at home where we were. I don't even know if that's home anymore, actually. Like, but where we were in Melbourne, in our lives, with 9-to-5s, with mortgages, and what everyone expects the Australian dream to be from the baby boomers era, I guess. Yeah. Like,
it wasn't our dream.
It wasn't our dream.
Well, it was for a period of time, but I think we just evolved as people. And it, your dreams change. And I think it's okay to let go old versions of yourself, because if you're not evolving, what are you doing? Why are you living if you're not evolving? And with evolution comes change. And I think you nailed it before. Like, we needed radical change. It wasn't a want anymore. It wasn't, oh, I want to go to Greece this year and party. It was, no, I need radical change. I need to uproot everything that I hold dear, except for family and friends.
Of course, yeah.
And make that change, because something deep within me needs it.
Mm.
And we've listened to that voice.
And we've created the space to discover what we actually want. And we're not there yet. But what we both came to the table about this trip and like what we were going to do. But we both said the problem that we are both feeling in our lives at the moment is that, you know, we can't hear our own voice because we're so busy. We're working all the time. We're socializing. We're doing our fitness. We're, you know,
being bombarded with media and social media, news media.
You're trying to put like 10 minutes a day into like meditation to discover something about yourself. How? Like, it's just really hard. Like, you're so flooded with everything going on in your life that you have no space to really ask yourself the big questions. And I was so sick of giving up on myself, but I knew I wasn't ready to just go all in with my business. I was like, I just need space to find out who I am. Mm. You know, I'm 34 and I don't know who I am because I have been what the world wants me to be for so long. I have been what I, you know, others have expected me to be for so long. And even when I was, as you know, at the height of my music career, performing in front of thousands of people, I felt like an imposter in my own life. And then I started to come all together with my business and I felt like I was really connecting to myself. And then I, you know, just sabotaged it because I just wasn't really fully believing in myself. This trip is giving the space to go, why? Why don't you believe in yourself? What is missing? What do you need to feel enough? You're already enough, but how do you feel it? How do you really embody that? How do you become the person you already know you are? And with all the noise pollution of city life, doing things for other people, doing a job that means nothing to you.
Living other people's dreams.
Exactly.
Not your own.
Living other people's worries.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's part of what we're just saying in this segment. Like, other people's worries were really infiltrating our lives and thinking, oh, we can't do that. We can't do this. But then we were like, but why can't we do it?
It's ludicrous, isn't it? And I'm actually chuckling for two reasons. One, we were talking about financial security, and now it's like this flower, like this necklace that you've got on, the Blue Lotus one. It's just like this flower that's opened up. We were talking about the deepest stuff you can imagine, like proper, you know, foundational, you know, existential questions. And that's a really good juxtaposition of what other people's worries are and the journey that we're trying to go on.
Yeah.
Like, financial security is important, yes, but this is what else, what Anita's just described, this is what we're trying to actually discover.
Mm.
And this, like, financial security pales in comparison to what we're actually trying to discover here. So what I'm trying to say is, don't worry about the finances to the extent that you can still pay your bills, because there's a much bigger picture that is waiting to be discovered here.
But we also worked hard to get here. Like,
absolutely.
You and I have worked. I started working when I was 14. I think you were like 15 as well.
Yeah.
Like, we've always had jobs. We're not these people that have never had jobs. Like, we've always had jobs. So we worked our asses off to get here. All we're doing is rewarding that work with actually giving ourselves a bloody chance.
Yeah.
So, like, live our lives.
And the best part is we're not actually, like, we're not selling off fixed assets.
Mm.
We're not selling properties. We're not going down to the wire here. There's enough savings and enough buffer to keep us going. And if it falls below a certain threshold,
yeah,
then, like I said, it's our country. We can just work again.
And we acknowledge the privilege in that. Like, because not everybody could get to this stage, like, so, you know, quickly, I guess. But when you break it down, it wasn't quickly, because we've literally been working our asses off up until now. And it was just more that a lot of people get stuck in that repetitive cycle and keep waiting to earn more money for the future, keep waiting to, you know, grow their wealth for later to take their leave. Whereas we're
always
just
living for tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
We thought, why don't we just spend our savings? Or why don't we just spend some of the money that we've earned? Which is terrifying to our parents. It's terrifying to the outside world. Because
it was terrifying to the version of us 8 weeks ago.
Yes, it was terrifying because we thought, like, no, you have to always have something there. And I guess that comes from some sort of, like, money trauma from our ancestral lineages as well. But, like, that not ever having much and feeling like you always had to kind of have it for a rainy day. And don't get me wrong, like, you have to be responsible in your life. But there is also always more time to earn more money. But what's if you don't have the time at all? Like, what's if time was taken away from you? You were diagnosed with something. We heard so many cases of friends passing away from cancer. A girl that, you know, I worked with, her friend passed away at 30. I'm 34 with cancer, leaving a daughter and her husband behind.
Mm.
Like, do you think that she was worried about money and jobs, or, you know, are they worried about the time that they didn't get to spend with their kids? Like, it's just this horrible, like, trap that we're in, where we feel like we have to constantly be working in order to live our life later. We decided we want to live our life now.
Yeah, you've absolutely nailed there. And, like, how much is enough? Where do you stop? Is there a magic number? I don't know. I don't think so, because I've seen a lot of wealthy people in this world that are very, very unhappy. The internet abounds with these sort of stories. And I've met people myself that, you know, they don't need to work anymore.
Yeah.
Why are they working? They're still slaving away. Their health is deteriorating.
Yeah.
And life's not getting any better for them, but they're getting wealthier.
Yeah.
And that's not the path that I wanted to go down.
No.
Not the path. And it was a very hard sell to family. Right?
Yeah.
And
we can honor the fact that our family ended up coming around when we were able to sit with them and talk to them and explain to them the whys we were doing this. And they've all been so supportive since we were able to just do it. And, you know, as it's unfolded, they've seen us doing it. They're like, oh, shit, you guys can do this. You actually can do it.
We had a bloody cat on a kayak yesterday. Yeah. We can do anything.
Exactly. So, you know, you might surprise and inspire people around you as well, because you only get this opportunity to live this life in this specific setting, like, depending on your belief systems, you know, like, I'm only going to be sharing this moment in this reality with you and Wally. And our pets are such, you know, big parts of our lives. They have such short lives.
Mm.
And that was a really big impact for us, that we wanted to share some experiences with them too. Like, I mean, what can you ask for? Every single day we get to walk with Wally on a beach. We get to go hiking. We get to spend time with Paprika.
The cats, like, hiked the volcano with us.
Yeah, like, that's sometimes just we wish they weren't here. Like, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, it's all those doubts, they come and go. But that's the thing. It's just like the ocean moving in and out. Like, they come and go. They come and go.
And it's funny, because the sort of travel that we're doing at the moment, most of the demographic that is on the roads is the older demographic. They call them the grey nomads in Australia.
Mm.
And there's quite a lot of retired folk and even people, you know, up to their 80s, I would even dare say 90s, doing the caravan lifestyle. And everyone we speak to is just in awe at the fact that we're doing this now, that we're not waiting until we're at an advanced age. Yeah. And to see people pretty much unanimously throughout our entire travels thus far, saying, good on you.
Yeah.
This is the best decision that you'll ever make, and you will not regret this.
Yeah.
It just goes to show, like, these are people that have lived a very large proportion of their lives, some of them. To hear them say that is special and absolutely reinforces the reasons why we're doing this now.
And it was important for us to be able-bodied because it's not just working towards your future. It's having the actual, you know, physical health to be able to do things on that trip. Like, a lot of these grey nomads, they're in their 70s and some of them are super fit. But some of them are also unable to do some of the things that we can do now, where we can still go and hike, we can still go and do a bit more of the adventurous stuff. So it's neither story is right or wrong, but for us, it was a really big selling point to be able to do this while we have our health.
Yeah.
Because you can have a long life, but it doesn't mean you're going to have a healthy life. So being able to be healthy, being able to be present, you know, on this trip, It was just one of the biggest selling points for us to do it while we're young. Youngish.
100%.
Young enough.
Yeah. I'm struggling to think of what the other people's doubts were because I'm just like, I feel like part of my memory has actually just been wiped.
Yeah.
Because I've evolved so much as a person. I've seen you evolve so much that even like more so my own doubts, I don't even remember what my doubts were. Actually, equipment. Because we're not these people.
Because we're on the road, right? We're four-wheel driving, we're off-road. Like right now we're camped on a beach, like that's sand. So many things involved. So Daniel, I'm going to honour you with all of the possible love and honouring I can do at this point. Literally, practically has been doing courses ever since we decided that we're going to do this trip. Like he pretty much started watching every single four-wheel drive YouTube's channel, mechanics YouTube channels, caravan YouTube channels, learning everything he could possibly learn in order to make this work for us, because the reality is we're going to be remote. We have been remote in certain locations and things go wrong.
Things have gone wrong.
Things have gone wrong. And the reality is that we did not have any experience. So poor Dan. What did you do? Come on, explain to us what you...
Well, but before I explain the what, I think I just want to reinforce the fact that the shining light through all of this and the reason why I could expend so much energy and had so much motivation to learn all of this was actually coming back to my why and why am I going on this trip? And I've always been a big proponent ever since... was blessed with this knowledge in the past. If you have your why down pat, if you know deep down why you're doing something, then the how will come to you. You will find a way. You will do self-research. You will find your tribe. You'll come into contact with people that will teach you. How many people on this trip have come into contact with us at random moments, seemingly random moments, that have actually prevented a disaster from happening?
Yeah.
Or have given us key advice that we've then used the next day or the next week. So the why for me, I'll delve into it at a later phase, but adventure, connection, discovery, and evolution.
Yeah.
HASTE, that's my acronym, right? I've got four whys. And so because I had my why so down pat and I even had it as an affirmation on our mirror at home, every morning I'd get up, I'd look at my why and I'd remember, why am I going through the suffering of renting out the house and learning all this shit?
Yeah, because it was hard.
It was so hard. It was really so hard. So because I had my why down pat, I could then allow myself to focus on the how. And the how was, it was actually tapping into my old project management days of starting with a spreadsheet and a plan. Right. And working back from a set of objectives and, okay, so this is the type of car and caravan that I need. These are the places where we need to go. And this is why we're going there. Okay. So let's break it down. What do I need to do to fit the car out, to fit the caravan out, the skills that I need to learn to be safe on the road? So I literally started off going from a couple of lines on a spreadsheet all of a sudden to 50 lines long of things that I needed to do.
Yeah. Right.
And that can be really, really overwhelming for people. If you look at it as a block, right, and go, oh my God, that's too much. How can I possibly learn all this stuff? So again, thankfully, due to my previous project management life, I said, well, yeah, you're not going to boil the ocean in one go and you're not going to achieve all these things. But I have 5 months to get all of this sorted, and I've got the budget now. So let's break it down and let's work back from the time where we think we're going to leave and just space it out.
Yeah.
And start off with the high priority things, the things that, particularly the knowledge things where you need practice, rinse and repeat. Start off with them and then kind of work everything else out. And you were laughing at me because almost every night I'd be looking at the spreadsheet and you'd see the greens just start to accumulate and green equals complete, right? And then amber is, you know, not on track or at risk. So I'd have a few ambers in there and things that I'd need to focus on a little bit quicker. But very quickly, this plan was starting to not only grow initially as I found out and uncovered more things, but there started to be a lot more greens in it. And as I found that momentum, I found the motivation to keep going. And I found the confidence.
I was about to say confidence.
To learn more and more. And I've never towed anything in my life other than like a tiny trailer, maybe once or twice. I've never towed a 2-ton caravan, right? I've never fitted off-road suspension, recovery points. I've never used max tracks. I've never done all of these crazy four-wheel drive, well, at the time, for me, crazy four-wheel drive things and caravan-related things in my life. So, yeah, that was a big fear.
That was a big fear. And it was, you know what? And I'm not going to lie, I was like kind of in this dazed and confused, like, I don't know what's going on. And you were just doing all of this work behind the scenes, you know, like I was just trying to, at this point, I was just trying to get through my day, you know, like I was working long hours. I was exhausted. I could barely get through the day by the time, you know, you had done all of this extra work in the evenings and been doing all of this behind the scenes, you know, which is kind of your job outside of, you know, all of this adventure. Like you're very, very good at, you know, making lists and ticking it off, and you're just really self-driven and self-motivated. I've always honored and loved that about you, because I am like project here, project there, project here, project there, and I'm like, oh, let's start all of them at once. Oh, bye, I'm not sure I'm going to finish that one. Oh, maybe I don't want to do that anymore. So for me, it's really hard for me to do those kind of things and to not get completely overwhelmed by, you know, how many things need to happen. Mm. And the fact that you could just take the reins and literally make this trip possible for us is just amazing. So thank you for that as well.
Thank you for recognizing
me. Yeah.
That. Yeah. It's, I think it's a bit of natural skills and also learned skills as well.
Mm.
But also you have to be able to recognize that things will, success will come in chunks. You will not get to Nirvana in one big hit. It's about putting in the work slowly, gradually, methodically, and strategically as well. It's not just about putting together a massive list and ticking it off. There has to be thought that goes into it. There has to be strategy. There has to be consciousness.
Yeah.
But, you know, as much as it was important what I did to get here, I think I wouldn't have been able to go on this journey if it wasn't for your influence. And the influence that you bring to the table, which is not material in terms of like assets and things. It's actually thinking about life differently.
Mm.
It's about that softer side, feeling, tapping into yourself, the spiritual element, the yoga that we do now every day. There's no point of just always living your head like I used to. Mm. What you bring to the table is showing how to live through the heart and the gut. So I think we've been a really good team, a yin and yang team, because we've brought different strengths to the table, both strengths that have been needed, and it's been very symbiotic. I think
like as a couple as well, we're always like when one's up, the other's down, and when the other one's down and up, like
which is hard in a 5x3 space.
Yeah, no, but like we're never both in a negative headspace at the same time, which has just been like that for our whole relationship. Like, we're always, one of us is always like the coach and the one that can help to uplift and the one that can sort of bring the joy and the perspective and, you know, ask the big questions. And then there's always the, you know, swap and sort of change of power and change of, you know, like the yin and the yang, it comes from both of us, but at different times. So I've really loved that about us and the way that we've navigated through that. throughout our relationship, but also now in this new lifestyle, because there's not room for two people to be in a bad headspace. So it's just nice to have, like, I'm calm, I'm collected, I'm here for you. I can be here for you. I can show the space to, you know, hold you, to make you feel, you know, to help you through that doubt. And you do the same for me. And we just constantly are back and forth, like, helping each other through the parts of the trip or the parts previously to the trip that were hard to deal with. And just sort of holding the other person, you know, like just holding them, holding them up, keeping, you know, a warm head on their shoulder, just making them know that it's okay to feel how they're feeling. And we've had to adapt to that very quickly in this environment because it's a small space, you know, like being able to be like, okay, he's not in a good mood today. So I'm going to just make sure that I'm really do my best to, you know, provide a calm environment for you. And then the role reversal, if it's my monthly or something like that, which is a very small space for a man and a woman to be in proximity, you know, but you've actually come to adapt, you know, you're like, all right, this is a time where she needs a little bit of introverted, you know, alone time. I'll just make myself, you know,
make yourself scarce,
but in a nice way, you know? So yeah, I find that something that's really strong about our union is that when the other is feeling, you know, the stresses or the hardships, the dark sometimes aspects of their being, the other person is able to sort of just bring the light. And it's really, really beautiful. And I really love that about our relationship. And I love that about the journey into this new lifestyle and now the embodiment of that in here, in our caravan, in our new world.
Amen. Yeah, because
there's no room for that otherwise.
Yeah, and people that may look at our social media may think that, wow, you have the most incredible life
now. Yeah.
Especially the last few weeks since the weather's gotten warmer, we've hit the beach. And yes, our life is amazing. I'm not going to mince words. It is just, it feels next level compared to how it was before. But it's also been really, really difficult. And we haven't documented or talked about that side up until pretty much now on this podcast.
Yeah.
But it's been horrific at times, I would even describe it.
Yeah.
Because not only do you have the practical implications of a smaller space with pets and the dirt and dust and just the little practical things, but you're also shedding like a skin, like a snake. Oh, yeah. And it's not just surface level. You're shedding an entire version of yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like.
And over and over again.
Yeah.
Like it's not just once.
Yeah.
It's like death and rebirth all the time. Like.
Yeah. Plus throw in everyone else's doubts that have accumulated, our own doubts. And you're just, it's just ushering in this completely new version of yourself. And it's scary. Like it's so scary because I don't know who I am fully. I've suppressed or just not listen to that voice inside. Mm. And I don't know who I am.
And now it's like there's someone just knocking us on the head like, wake up, this is what you're destined for, or this is what you're going to do. And the fact
that someone can be there and hold me and help me through this journey and be a shoulder to cry on if need be, but also share in all those joys and all the abundance that we're getting to share now, that is so special. And I'm so blessed and honored that I get to do this with you because, you know, us humans, we're social creatures. No matter how introverted you think you are, I think that life is better lived and experienced with those that you love and people you can share that experience with. And it's just so incredibly special. I feel very, very blessed. And I want to honor that about us.
Yeah. I think we're friends, you know, like we are the bestest friends. You couldn't do this with anybody other than your best friend. Like sometimes our relationship surpasses everything, you know, else. It just becomes the fact that we actually love being in each other's company. It's weird for some people that don't understand that, like people that might not have, you know, don't get me wrong, we have so many problems, like so many arguments, so many things, but we can just be there for each other and support each other and grow through it.
But if you take away the relationship portion of it, we just actually have fun together. We enjoy being together. Not all the time, but a lot of the time, you know?
Yeah. It makes me laugh because I remember when we first got married in 2017, there were some comments that were made by people kind of going, oh, married. Oh, well, that's you locked away. Oh, that's the end of the fun for you. And I laughed at the time because I knew who I was marrying. We'd been together for a long time before that. And the sort of life that we were living at the time was very, very exciting and fun in a different way to now.
Buoyant.
Festivals, parties constantly, proper living the high life. Big overseas trips.
Yeah. You
know, we were living it up. And I kind of just laughed at those people. Like, I actually laughed in their face and going, like, we'll see.
Yeah.
Watch me. And life has actually become even more fun since then.
Yeah.
But it's not only become more fun, but it's become a deeper version of fun, a much more connected version, a much more sustainable version. And that depth now, oh, mate, like, the time is now. We've got to go do this.
But you've got to get dark and nasty with each other, right? You've got to get dark and nasty, and you've got to get into the grit. You've got to find, like, you know, the deepest, darkest versions of yourself. And you, when you expose that to each other and you can still be there, you can still show up for each other. And sometimes you think, like, what am I looking at? Like, how can this person love me in this state? You know, like, and they do. Like, I don't know why I'm saying they. You do. Like, you do, you know, and I do. And this is why this podcast is existing right now, because we have our social media. We have, you know, we're starting to post up our vlogs and stuff like that. And this podcast is about the truth, you know, like the truth of the trip, the truth of the doubts, the truth of our relationship, the truth of, like, what you actually have to go through to get what you want. Or to be in a relationship that's safe and loving, and to live a lifestyle that you want, to live a lifestyle that means something to you, and how you combat all those doubts from other people, from yourself, from society, to show the truth. Like, because it's not all fairy tales and rainbows all the time. There's plenty of things to talk about where things aren't that easy, where it's hard and it's difficult. So, yeah, it's important to do that. And it's important to show the authentic side of ourselves and not just be, you know, the glamour couple or the party couple or, you know, these other versions of ourselves that we've been shedding and working through over the years. I feel like I don't know who we are at the moment. Like, I'm a little bit, like, in between. Like,
but I like where it's going.
But I like where it's going. And I like
the vibes.
I like not knowing.
Yeah.
I like not knowing, and that's something that we've both grown really, really far into, because we've always known what was going on in our lives. Like, we've always kind of, like, been sure of what tomorrow brings, but this is the first time. It's wild and adventurous, married and wild and crazy and maybe a little bit insane from time to time, but yeah, it's an adventure.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the person that I used to be, like, right before on this trip, and, like, I keep coming back to it. It's been coming to me a lot recently, and I'm actually struggling to even just remember that side of me. Like, who was I? What were my fears or doubts at the time? Or was I just so numb that it almost felt like I didn't have any? But yeah, like, coming back to what you said before, I'd rather just feel and live rather than not, you know, and get that full experience.
It's not much more to be said than that. I mean, it's a roller coaster, and there's plenty to talk about. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of things for us to divulge and to open up about. And yeah, we'll find some structure to do that. But yeah, I guess this is the beginning of our lives in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
A new world.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for thanking my own wife for sitting with me.
You don't know. have to thank me. I'm not one of your podcasters.
I'm just so used to like interviewing all these, you know, bigwig CEOs from all around the world, and I've got to get myself out of that mindset that I'm just sitting here with having my chats. Gorgeous missus having chats, and
it has
been quite hard to put the feelings into words, but I feel like we've done an okay job.
I feel like we've been like a little bit on all over the planet and kind of like everywhere, which is fine because this is just an introduction, I guess, into how we're feeling and where we're going. Yeah. And we will definitely find some structure along the way to make it a little bit more,
or maybe not, actually.
Cause we didn't need structure in our lives after all. So maybe it's okay to be all over the place and not know and kind of be like, oh, this is an adventure. Just like our lives.
Yeah. Pretty much. So I guess on that note, I think we'll make it a wrap for today. Just to recap, you know, it's been quite the journey to get here. So it's been really interesting unpacking other people's doubts, our own doubts, you know, some of the challenges we've had to overcome. We've talked about some of the strategies that we've used in order to overcome those doubts, and I'm sure we'll reveal more. Can't reveal the tools of the trade in one episode. We want to keep everyone watching and listening as we go. But most importantly, I think I just want to honour the fact that we've actually done it.
Yes.
The fact that we've actually come here, we've showed up, we've taken a big risk in our life.
Yeah.
But we've been very clear on our why. And I feel like that why has been the guiding light, and it's held us in good stead and will continue to hold us in good stead. And I have faith in your abilities. I have faith in my abilities, and I've got faith in the divine and the universe.
Yeah. Showing for the first time, I feel like we're really trusting in the higher powers as to whatever that might be for us.
Yeah.
You know, really just trusting that it'll be okay. Even if it's not okay, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Sage advice.
With both of us at each other's, you know, side. And even without, you know, like it's our journey and it's also our individual inward learning, you know. But we'll be okay.
We'll be okay. So thanks everyone for watching the Dancing with Doubt on the Road, episode 1. With the lovely Anita Musker, my wife, coming to you from Shark Bay in Western Australia. Remember to hit that subscribe button and the bell if you're on YouTube, or if you're listening to us on a podcast, just hit that subscribe button and keep a lookout on our socials for more episode drops. I don't know when we'll come to you next, but we will come to you again.
And no, you can always rewrite your story at any time in your life.
Absolutely. Bye for now.
Bye.